This podcast is sponsored by Monarch.
Lifesaver.
Game changer.
The best thing to ever happen to my finances.
The people have spoken. Monarch makes personal financing a breeze.
Monarch is an intuitive, powerful, collaborative finance app that can help you save, budget, and keep your financial life in shape.
With Monarch, I can see my account balances, transactions, and investments in one place, so I always know what's going on with my money.
Whether you're saving for your first home, thinking about starting a family, your own business, or planning for retirement, Monarch is here for you every step of the way.
Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Monarch and manage your finances more effectively. See what thousands of people are saying about Monarch, the app Wall Street Journal voted the best budgeting app of 2024. Collaborate with your partner or financial advisor at no additional cost. Get a 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. That's monarchmoney.com/podcast for your free trial. monarchmoney.com/podcast.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Police Off the Cuff, Real Crime Stories. I'm your host, retired NYPD Sergeant Bill Cannon, a 27-year veteran of the NYPD. You know, we haven't been back to the case of the Kansas moms in a while, and there has been some new occurrences with this case. And we remember the Kansas moms, Veronica Butler, Jillian Kelly. And they met such a horrific, untimely death. But what we're finding out now even makes this case worse. And you wonder, you know, again, we've covered this a million times in all the homicides that we cover. What evil allows people to do this? And in this case, five different people involved in this case, right? And initially, it was these four you see on the screen. Tiffany Adams, who is the ringleader, right? Grandma, which I heard she hates to be called. Tad Cullum, who is her boyfriend. Cole Twombly and his wife, Cora Twombly. And there's one more, of course, and that's Paul Grace, who recently was added to this crew of degenerates. I don't know if I have his picture handy on the screen. Let's see if I do. But he was added to this, and he's the fifth being charged with murder in the first degree. And I don't have his picture available, but so we know Paul Grice is the fifth. But what we're finding out is, you know, a horrific situation about how the bodies were found and where the bodies were found. And that's enough really to just turn your stomach. And so we're going to get into that. And with me tonight, of course, I have a special guest, retired NYPD Sergeant Mike Geary, and I'm going to introduce him in a minute. Professor at Albertus Magnus, retired NYPD Sergeant and attorney, the man of reason, low key and all of that. So folks, hold on to your hats. Hold on to your earrings, hold on to your toupees, whatever's connected to your head, because you're about to enter true crime from a police perspective. You're about to enter the off-the-cuff zone, the police off-the-cuff zone. There has to be some common sense.
Yes, sir. They have the car stopped in 10th and Grant's microphone.
We still don't know who pulled the trigger. You know, we're going to get right into this, right into the mud, which is where this case is. But I'm going to bring with me in order to get into the mud and get dirty, get my hands dirty, and you guys got to get ready to get your hands dirty. I'm going to bring on super clean professor, retired NYPD Sergeant Professor Michael Geary, and we'll bring him right on. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, Billy, good evening. Thank you for having me on. Good evening, everyone.
Well, Mike, people miss you when I don't have you on. They're saying, where's Geary? Where's Geary? I said, all right, take it easy. I know you don't like me. I'll bring Geary on, all right? And people are even asking for Phil. Where the hell is Phil, you know? I'm like, well, you know, Phil's Italian. He's got a lot of Italian things to do. He's all over Brooklyn. He's all over New Jersey. He's got deliveries to make, numbers to run, cannolis to pick up. So, you know, Phil's been taking a little hiatus. I asked him to come back. I'm not going to beg him. He comes back when he's ready, and I'll welcome him with open arms. Mike, one of the things that just came out, and I know I sent you the article, and there's a warrant on this that is even more sickening. But as we look at these four individuals, the search for two Kansas moms ended gruesomely on April 14th in the Oklahoma Panhandle at the end of a two-day excavation of a possible burial site in a cow pasture. The Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation revealed in new court records that a chest freezer was found during the excavation and opened. Inside were the bodies of Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly, who had been missing since March 30th. The Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation also revealed in the new court records that personal items were located in the hole after the bodies were removed. These items did not belong to Butler or Kelly, an OSBI agent wrote. This information was not released to the public. The investigation into the disappearances resulted in first-degree murder charges against grandmother Tiffany Adams and three others even before the bodies were found. And you see the three others on the screen, Tadbert Cullum, Cole Earl Twombly, and Cora Twombly. The investigation into the disappearances resulted in first-degree murder charges. Again, a fifth person, and that's Paul Grice. I'll get his picture up in a second. All five murder defendants have been described in court affidavits as members of an anti-government group called God's Misfits. Prosecutors allege they killed the two women because of a child custody dispute. Butler, who was 27, had come from Kansas to pick up her two children from Adams, their paternal grandmother. Butler had planned to take them to a birthday party. Kelly, 39, a pastor's wife, was along to supervise her visit. Adams and Butler were in a problematic custody battle over the children, the OSBI revealed. The grandmother had been taking care of the children for months at her home in Keys. Adams, after her arrest, made statements to law enforcement indicating she was responsible for the deaths, the OSBI revealed in April. The bodies were found on property leased to her boyfriend, Tadbert Cullum, to graze cattle. The case attracted national media attention. The new details are contained in search warrant records filed in Texas County District Court last week. Associate District Judge Clark Jett on Wednesday refused the defense request to seal the records from the public. The burial site is described in the records as 8.5 miles from where Butler's abandoned vehicle was found west of an intersection on a highway. Seized as evidence at the burial site were Wrangler blue jeans, sweatshirts, t-shirts, a black jacket, cloth gloves, ball caps, duct tape, and a sheathed black K-bar knife, the new records reveal. All were described as with possible blood. Also seized were a black saw handle, two ratchet straps, a black taser flashlight, an electrical cord, and small black tape. Adams, 54, faces two counts of first-degree murder, two counts of kidnapping, and one count of conspiracy to commit murder. She was charged April 12th in Texas County District Court. Charged on the same day were Cullum of Keys and a married couple, Cole Earl Twombly, 50, and Cora Twombly of Texoma. Charged April 24th was Paul Jeremiah Grice, 31, of Keys. The OSBI reported in a court affidavit he had confessed to his involvement in the killings and the burial. Their attorneys have made no public comments about the accusations. Defense attorneys and prosecutors are now prohibited by judicial order from speaking about the cases outside the court. The new documents do not reveal how the two women were killed. Oklahoma's chief medical examiner has said only that they were not shot. The freezer containing their bodies is the kind that has a lid on the top, commonly called a deep freezer. The OSBI did disclose in the new documents that Grice had been seen on March 30th and 31st with a bandaged right hand. A witness told the OSBI that Grice had asked him on April 17th how long DNA would last on clothing in the dirt in a hole 15 feet deep, according to one affidavit. Grice also had asked about how to get a guy and his family into Mexico. The OSBI also revealed in new documents that the Twombleys had two cell phones in the pickup they were driving at the time of their arrest. The OSBI reported information related to the locations, services, and phone usage show both cell phones had been at the abduction site March 30th and then at the burial site. Adams had purchased those cell phones and a third cell phone on February 13th at a Walmart in Guymon, the OSBI reported. What do you make of that, Mike?
Billy, it just gets worse and worse and worse. You know, we're thinking before, you, me, and Phil, we're talking about poor Miss Butler, Miss Kelly, and it just gets worse and worse when you hear about the freezer and you realize that, you know, they were, and you start to spitball and wonder, okay, they weren't shot. Were they hit in the head with a hammer? We believe that. They were physically beaten severely. Tasered, you know, that sort of thing, taken prisoner, put into the freezer, buried 15 feet below the ground. Now, unfortunately, that gives the possibility that they may have still been somewhat alive at the time that the freezer was closed and they were put in it and buried. And that just adds to the horror. This just adds even extra to the risk that they now are in danger of being put to death. Because if it is true, and we'll see about what the medical examiner will say in the future, you've got a conspiracy to commit murder first degree, you've got kidnapping, you've got the death of two people. And if it was a lingering, torturous death, then that would be like four aggravating prerequisites to impose the death penalty. This just gets worse and worse and worse. And what they have done is an abomination. And whatever justice they get, I'm all for it.
You know, Mike, when we hear what a K-bar knife on the scene,
right?
Blunt objects,
right?
Tasers, cell phones, and they indicated that many of those items had blood on them.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously that is probably, well, we know the attack occurred at another location.
Mm-hmm.
Were they killed at that location or were they still alive?
Right.
And did they kill them at the burial site? Or even worse, were they buried alive?
Right.
In this horrific grave, in this chest freezer, as they call it.
And then the killers throwing their dirty clothes into the hole and covering it with blood. They were really prepared. I would think that they changed into clean, fresh clothes with no blood on it. It's just remarkable.
Well, yeah, these geniuses, Mike, are thinking, and you know, Paul Grice. So, how long does DNA last below ground? What a genius, right? Forever idiot, you know. Asking a question like that, it shows the premeditation.
Yeah.
And the lengths, you know, the most baffling thing about this case, in my opinion, is that why did four people that had nothing to do with this case, and I apologize, Paul Grice's photo is not one of the four here. grandma, of course, is. How did four people that had nothing to do with this case, had no axe to grind with Miss Butler and Jillian Kelly, why did they agree to go along and murder these two women? Why? And then you got to go back to God's misfits. Was there some kind of controllingness in grandma that she was able to control God's misfits here, that these people were in this group, this sort of anti-government group? And is that why they agreed to take part in the murder of these two women? It doesn't make a lot of sense. And the brutality in regards to these murders really makes no sense whatsoever. Mike?
Yeah, Billy, God's misfits. They're mankind's misfits. And I think that Grice and, you know, and the couple, Cole and Cora, I think maybe it could be that Grandma had, Tiffany, had maybe done something in the past for the Twombleys, and maybe the Twombleys and Grice were paying her back. I mean, I would imagine, being a normal human, reasonable human being, it would take an awful lot of convincing to convince someone that you need to join in their conspiracy to commit one or possibly two murders and then bury the body. This is really sick. So I'm thinking maybe Grice owed Adams, or maybe the Twombleys owed her something for maybe a favor that was done for them in the future. Or maybe, as strange as it might be, maybe she's actually the leader, the ringleader of this little weird group that they got going on. That maybe she may be the grandma looking, but maybe she's like a small organized militia, small organized, you know, organized crime group. It's really strange, the dynamics. I don't know how that could occur. I'm thinking it's a payback for a previous favor that may have been done by her. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm thinking that in some way she had some kind of control over these other people.
Yeah.
And whether it was a financial control or whether it was that government, anti-government group, God's misfits,
right?
Why would you throw your life away? And I was able to pull up. That's Paul Rice. He's number five. And he's about 31 years old, apparently married, three children. And you just like, throws his life away to take part in a murder with these four idiots. You know, like, what is that all about? It's hard for us to understand. And hopefully this will come out some way in mm-hmm. the trial, that the reason, what was the reason for this? And we can't understand it. And I don't know if we ever will say, oh, now I get it. Oh, no, I don't think I'll ever get it, you know?
Right, right. I mean, the prosecutor doesn't have to show the motive, but for a jury to really understand what was going on, the prosecutor would love to have the motive so that the jury, all those jurors, can actually sit there in court and understand the backdrop that would impel someone to convince, like the mother, to convince like four other people to help her do this sort of thing, and them not saying, oh, no, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. That's your son's wife. That couple could work it out. I don't know if we'll ever find out. I hope we do. I'm sure the prosecutor would love to present that. However strange or valueless it is, I'm sure the prosecutor wants to know that, because I think there's something a little bit more than just child custody. There must be something else going on. And I think we would love to find out about it so we can understand, as human beings, even if we say it's ridiculous and I can't even understand it, but to at least know what would drive people to do something and so brutally treat and kill two beautiful women. I don't understand it.
Absolutely. Donna Hoye, it's so very scary that you have people like this walking this earth. Agreed. Absolutely horrific. More from the chat. Let Let me see. I saw someone had some good comment that this is cult-like behavior.
It is. Yeah.
Jason Brown, this kind of crime is part of human society. Buildings, clothes, and technology make little difference. Religion is irrelevant here. Well, thank you for that comment. Sherry Murray, grandma didn't like her grandchildren's mother not listening to her. Now, how she lost control, knew she didn't have a handle on things anymore. But Sherry, many people don't like their daughter-in-law or someone in their family. They don't set a plan in motion with four other people and ambush them and kill, really, a woman that had no axe to grind whatsoever in Jillian Kelly.
Now's the time to save 30% on wedding jewelry, only on BlueNile.com. Make sure your wedding ring is the one with your pick of diamond and lab-grown diamond bands, all hand-finished and graded for excellence. Or surprise her with something blue she'll love for life, like a stunning pair of sapphire earrings. Blue Nile's jewelry experts are available 24/7 to help, from fit questions to style advice. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Like, she lost her life and she had nothing to do with this. So that's why we ought to question the evil nature of this whole act. Watson's puzzle, they weren't going to allow the children to what they thought was a SA situation. Yeah, but that's, I mean, come on. That we don't even know if that's true. We don't know that could be true or that could be made up. So you kill the mother and you kill some innocent woman. That's still, to me, makes absolutely no sense. I want to play this from News Nation.
Coming to light in an alleged double murder in Oklahoma. Search warrants outline what may have happened leading up to the kidnapping and murder of the two Kansas women. Nick Smith is live in the newsroom. And Nick, quite a lot revealed in these documents.
Yeah, Nicole, definitely. More than we knew before News Nation obtained copies of these new search warrants filed in court less than a week ago. And now, new information about the days following the deaths of Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly. The warrants seek to collect DNA samples from the suspects, as well as search their cars and phones for evidence. Among the more shocking information revealed in the documents, we have learned that the bodies of the two women were found in a chest freezer buried in a cow pasture. It took investigators 2 days to excavate the site, and when they did, documents revealed that several items were found with what appeared to be blood on them, including clothes, duct tape, and a black sheath knife. Also detailed in the warrant, the suspicious behavior of the fifth suspect arrested in the case, Paul Grice. Witnesses told investigators Grice asked how long DNA would last on clothing buried in the dirt. and asked the same witness, quote, how to get a guy and his family to Mexico. Nicole, there's still a lot we don't know in this case, including how the two women died. The judge in the case has ordered the full medical examiner's report to be withheld for at least 6 months. The next court appearance is a discovery hearing scheduled for June 19th, and News Nation will be there. Nicole?
Absolutely. All right, Nick, thank you.
So we still don't know how they were killed. But when you think of the mentality here is that they were being real slick. So they buried their clothing, their bloody clothing, no doubt, in the chest freezer with the bodies of the two women. And now one part of the search warrant, of course, is to get their DNA. They take the DNA off them. They need a search warrant.
Right.
You know, someone can actually, well, after an arrest like this, no one's going to ask you to voluntarily give you DNA.
No.
They're going to get a search warrant from a judge. They get their DNA and they compare their DNA against the DNA on the clothing that was thrown in the chest freezer with the bodies of the two victims. Mike.
Yeah, Billy, that's so important because that will have not only the wearer's DNA, like, you know, Chad and, you know, that sort of thing, but it will also have the victim's DNA, probably in the form of blood. So you're going to have maybe sweat and skin cells from the perpetrators and blood, and maybe a little bit of blood from Grimes, because remember, Grimes had a bandaged hand. So he may have He may have cut himself in you know, doing whatever he's doing. So that would show that, you know, that places him right there. There's no way that he could ever account for how his shirt or how his pants or how his blood got on clothing buried 15 feet below the ground right next to two kidnapped victims who were murdered. You know, and that's the wonderful thing about the DNA and cell phone evidence, that we have marveled at how good the evidence is in terms of cell phone location data. It's fantastic. And that is fantastic because it is mechanical. It's not human. It's not subject to being forgetful or temperament. It's all electronic. It's all accurate. And the sad thing is, and I just want to make a comment about one of the earlier subscribers who wrote a little thing in the chat. I know what he's saying. As much as that we are sophisticated with our education, with our clothing, with our electronics, with travel, you know, we are still basically humans, and we're no different than, you know, the Cro-Magnon man and Cro-Magnon woman, you know, 20,000 years ago, 50,000 years ago. We're the same people. We seem more sophisticated, but what drives us to do things, to love and to hate and to, you know, hurt people and to nurture people is just part of different facets of human nature. And what drove these people, maybe we'll to do this, maybe we'll never know, but even if we don't, we know that that is part of human nature to destroy those sorts of things. Sometimes people you love, sometimes people you hate, but that's all sadly part of human nature. And unfortunately, you know, the good are, they never live long enough. The good always die young. They always die before their time. And these evil people took them away from all of us. And so it's just a sad commentary on human nature.
I think what you're talking about, Mike, is the human condition.
Which, yeah,
we've all seen the best of and the worst of in our police careers. And this is an example of the worst of the human condition. Yeah. AirGlow, what's it all about? It's about being brainwashed after prolonged anti-government, extreme right-wing thinking going back to the Reagan era and growing since Obama's election, conspiracy thinking. But that may be the case with them, but why did that drive five people to kill two innocent humans?
Yeah.
That their right-wing thoughts doesn't explain that. And there's people with anti-government thoughts from the other side, from the left wing. And people kill for different reasons than politics. I don't know or think that this had anything to do with politics. I think this had something to do with a dispute, but why the other four people got involved in Granny, you know, Tiffany Adams, in her beef I don't know. I can't explain that. Sherry Murray, what do you think, Sergeant Professor, will happen to the 16-year-old that was somehow involved? Just curious of your take on this. Well, I think she's going to have to go live somewhere else. And of course, we're talking about Cora Twombly's daughter, her 16-year-old daughter, basically told the police everything she knew about this case, which was a lot. And that, so we see Cora Twombly on the right bottom of the screen here. It's her 16-year-old daughter. What she told the police about cleaning up the pickup trucks, about asking about the bodies, and is it true that they were buried below 10 feet? And the mother responded something like that. So her testimony, and then pointing to that they were charging the burner phones on their dresser overnight. And those burner phones came into play so importantly because they led the police right to the location of where they buried these two victims. Mike.
Yeah, Billy, I'm not thinking that they killed because of any sort of political views, left or right. They didn't attack a police station. They didn't try to kill a police officer. They didn't try to kill, the mayor or something like that. I think this was very localized, although they are part of an anti-government, some sort of quasi-religious, political kind of anti-government thing. The way they acted, I don't think it really had a hell of a lot to do with the government. Maybe a little bit because they have contempt for the government, and maybe the grandma thought that she would lose custody in a couple of weeks because there was a court date set. But the evilness of this, I think, goes beyond anything to do politically. I think it was just, pure evil on the grandmother's part. And I'm dying to find out how she ever could convince anyone to do this. Did they need encouragement? Did they need, a push along? Did they volunteer to do it? Was it really their plan to help her? I'm not sure. I'd really like to find out that dynamic because, we talk about serial killers and things like that, and you want to study them to try to figure out, like criminologists, like Dr. Debbie Goodman, you want to talk to these people, figure out what drives these people to do this sort of thing. And I would really love to talk to that grandma. As evil as she is, I'd be fascinated, and I would really like to talk to her. She should be studied. This is a really, really strange a case of really weird human dynamics.
Absolutely. Callie Carolyn from the chat, I've heard the daughter is being protected. Let's hope so.
Oh, yeah, please, yes.
We could be intimidated. Chitwin Slim, not political. Raggedy Hobo, all the trappings of an inner city gang out in the sticks.
Yeah. Wow.
Becky B, she needs protection. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Fuzzy Doxy, I agree. This has nothing to do with government or being sovereign citizens. It has to do with evil. Fuzzy Doxy, I happen to agree with you.
Yes.
Donna Douglas, what a brave 16-year-old. I pray for her safety. We all do,
She was great.
Phoebe, originally the story was that the daughter went to school and was talking about having to clean the truck. I believe it was the teacher that then informed the daughter. Joyce Cube, I read something about Mr. Grice said he had ownership of his own children. What a creep.
Yeah, that's weird.
He had the right to help kill the parent of someone else's children. Joyce Cube, you're very right. That's a thinking, a mentality that I certainly don't get. Originally, we read that already. Let's see. Chickadee Raven, thank God that Cora blabbed to her daughter and that Cora's daughter spoke up. Exactly, that information was so important. I'm going to play, this was a month ago from News Nation when they were actually at the site where the bodies were discovered.
We know that we've known that the moms were found in a rural area about 8.5 miles away from where the car was discovered. But this is the very first time that we are seeing video and images of when investigators showed up out at the location and started digging and searching for the moms. And if you look closely, it's grainy. We were able to obtain this video. It was taken from a ways away, so it's a little bit hard to see. But if you look closely, Elizabeth, you can see all of the police cars out there. The investigators are out there, and there is also equipment that they had on site that they were using at that location as they began digging for the bodies. Again, it's about 8.5 miles away from where the mom's car was discovered. We have learned through sources that the bodies were found 10 feet beneath the surface, that they had been covered with soil and they had to dig 10 feet down, located near a dam, and that hay in the area was used to then cover the soil so that no one would be able to notice that they were digging in that area. We have also learned that it was cell phone pings from the burner phones. Remember, the suspects had burner phones, that it was the cell phone pings that led them to that area, and that is why they focused in on that rural area, started digging there, and then 10 feet down discovered the body.
Right. I was just going to ask you what led them to that location. How ironic it was the burner phones that Tiffany Adams, the grandmother of the two children who's charged with murder, the burner phones that she herself purchased in the day.
You know, Mike, I just want to comment on the burner phones.
Yeah.
The technology of tracking and tracing and doing all kinds of computer checks on cell phones is incredible.
Oh,
I mean, this took the police right to the site where the bodies were. Mm-hmm. Just unbelievable, because I've been off the NYPD for 13 years. They couldn't do this, not this accurately, not this quickly when I was on the job. I can't imagine the technology they have to do this right now.
It's amazing. I remember the first few times I was in the legal bureau and I heard about people asking for authorization to get search warrants for cell phone records. Had nothing to do with location, but it was like phone numbers in and out from the phone. And that was amazing. Like, whoa, wow, that's something else. But you marry that with that military GPS technology, and now our phones can place us within like 10 feet or 20 feet from any point in the world, so long as there's a satellite somewhere nearby. My kids even have something called Find Your Friend or Locate Your Friend, where they could see where their sister is, you know, traveling. And it's like, they could sit here in New York and say, oh, my sister's traveling on Route 95 in Pennsylvania, like, and in real time. And you're like, that is amazing. That's the beauty of this, is that for law enforcement, you know, it narrows down the possible excuses and ridiculous lies and locations that people, false locations that people can give as an excuse maybe, or as part of an alibi. You got your phone with you and it travels with you 99.999% of the time. And so if it says that you were in New York, you know, at near Times Square, you can't say you were upstate New York and you had nothing to do with the murder. You were up in Buffalo. No, it's amazing technology. And if not for that, unless these people talked and said something to the police, they would have not found these two poor moms. They would not have found it. They'd still be out there looking. We'd have no idea where they were. So thank goodness.
You know, Mike, I think we as citizens of the world, we take this for granted, how amazing this technology is.
Yeah.
And really, thank God that the police are plugged into this technology. And almost every case we cover, digital forensics comes into play in every single case. I want to read something. Sherry Murray, yes, geofencing is so incredible, Sarge, nowadays. And you use the term geofencing is the ability that the government has, and not just the government, well, they have the equipment to pull up a geographical area, that's geo, and to pull up every electronic device being used in a specific area at a specific time. That includes laptops, cell phones, computers. Unbelievable, right? Cell phones, it's incredible. That technology, and they, you know, initially they didn't want anyone to know that they could do that, because to get a warrant to search a specific geographic area at a specific time, that's an intrusion on all kinds of citizens' lives.
Right.
Because you can be pulled up into that dragnet and have absolutely nothing to do with it. So judges don't like to write search warrants for things like that because they realize it is intruding on the personal rights and the privacy of many people that have nothing to do with this. But that's geofencing. Mike, your attorney, your comments.
Well, Billy, it's fantastic technology, but you're right. It is intrusive, so it's a double-edged sword. Not only is it great for investigators when they're involved in a kidnapping case or, say, a lost child who may have their cell phone, an elderly person, you know, things like that, all those good things. But it's also really good to help track the movement of, like, an organized crime figure, a homicide suspect, a kidnapping suspect, you know, that sort of thing. That's fantastic. But it's done through a search warrant because, like you say, the amount of data that's going to be swept up. Just think about, say, Times Square or any other intersection in Manhattan. At any given time during the day, especially in the morning or the afternoon rush, how many cell phones, you know, people on cell phones are walking by a particular intersection. So if you wanted to have one person who is a suspect there, you're going to capture thousands of other cell phones walking through over the course of a couple of minutes, not even. And so therefore, it's hard for the court, you know, courts to try to strike a balance, the right kind of balance between having people not feel like their movements are tracked, but also give the police some sort of effective means to investigate crimes. Because the touchstone of the Fourth Amendment, our Fourth Amendment privacy rights, is the term reasonable. If you are subject to reasonable searches and seizures, and your information is too. So therefore, if there is an ongoing life and death kind of situation, you know, yeah, the police are going to get that information and they're going to get it quick. And I don't think any judge is going to hesitate, especially in a case where like these two missing moms, because they knew in order to get if there was ever a chance to get these two moms while they were still alive, everybody had to move fast. And they did it as fast as they could. Without it, you'd still be looking for them. They'd be like trying to find a needle in a haystack.
Absolutely. Becky B.
It's really difficult to have that privacy that we want, our civil liberty. What's that?
Becky B. I can start my tumble dryer from my phone. That's great.
It's amazing.
That's great to know. Miss Teddy H3, I can't get find where my cat is hiding by pinging her Apple AirTag. Right. Unintended uses of the technology, but that's okay. That's great.
Yeah.
Linda Cato, had the police arrested the defendants before they executed this search, or was the evidence from the search what the police needed to charge them? No, they were arrested even before, I believe, mm-hmm. that they found the bodies. So the finding the bodies was the evidence that they absolutely needed. But believe it or not, people have been charged with murder without the recovery of bodies. Magali Kane, thank you for the $9.99 super sticker. Evil has no acceptable explanation, nation, but stupid is as stupid does. And we're grateful for at least that. My late father was a homicide detective.
Okay.
Magali, Fidelis said mortem, you know, and that's what the NYPD Honor Legion, which simply means faithful until death. And that's our motto, you know. Maggie Lusk, my uncle who has dementia, is heating water controlled by an app from his brother-in-law's phone from his home, along with tracking him on a camera in my uncle's house to make sure he's safe. You know, Maggie Lusk, and to everyone else listening in the chat, all these things are fantastic, but they come with a price. Mm-hmm. And every single person out there, I would bet, has ordered something from Amazon and had it delivered to their house. But all these things we're talking about requires you to give up privacy, right? Mm. And if you don't want the convenience of modern day technology, then don't give up that little bit of your privacy to do it. And by that, I mean, you have to put your credit card on the computer. You have to allow things to be delivered to your home, which makes you vulnerable to certain things. You must have a cell phone. To have a cell phone, you must give up certain amounts of privacy. Again, now law enforcement, the government can track your cell phone. So all of these things do absolutely come with a price. Rogeria Brito, the beauty of technology catching all these evil monsters. Yes, that is the plus side of it. BJ, they got the DNA out of the cars and from the perps. Well, they would to get the DNA out of their cars and out of they needed search warrants. And that's we're going to have be able to get those search warrants soon to pull up exactly what the government has. Folks, if you like real crime, true crime from a police perspective in the right place, and if you're not subscribed to us, go on our YouTube, hit that subscribe button, give us a thumbs up, ring that bell, hit the like button, share us with your friends and your family, and make comments. We love to read your comments after the shows. And if you want to contribute to us financially, we have a Patreon with four different levels. And we also have a YouTube channel membership with five different levels. And our YouTube channel membership, I can't believe it, because many of our great members have been giving out gifts of police off-the-cuff memberships. I think I'm at the highest level I've been with police off-the-cuff memberships on our YouTube. So we really appreciate that. Let me go back to the News Nation report when they found the gravesite of these poor women.
Leading up to the murders. We're also hearing that there may be a fifth suspect, a fifth person who was part of God's Misfits, who may be facing some sort of charges. Is that true?
So no charges at this point at all, Elizabeth, but this has been one of the big sort of mysteries that continue.
This was, of course, before Paul Grice was arrested. And Paul Grice was mentioned on the initial probable cause affidavit, and he had been brought in and they let him go. And then they brought him back in and he was charged.
Continues to remain, and that people are questioning in the community why this person hasn't been charged, who this person is. The name is Paul Grice. He is named in the affidavit. He was questioned by police. So he was taken in, he was questioned, he was released. It appears that he knew something about what happened, exactly what. We don't know, but he was released, and we've talked to people today, Elizabeth, who know him and his family and are saying, look, he's a good man, and they are waiting to hold judgment. If he hasn't been arrested at this point, they say everyone should sort of just back off right now because rumors are flying like crazy out here.
Yeah.
But he's not been arrested at this point, Elizabeth, so we'll just have to wait and see where that goes.
Brian, we've been hearing so much about the influence, the power, the sway that this family of Tiffany Adams had in this small community. I'm curious, in that town there, is there a lot of support? I know the victims' families are furious and were quite vocal about it and had to be restrained in court yesterday. But what about people who live in that area? Are they still afraid to speak out about these four murder suspects, or are people starting to loosen up now?
They're loosening up a little bit, but there's still a lot of, you know, intimidation. I mean, these suspects, some of them were very, very powerful. And if you look at that video again, the new exclusive video that we got, Elizabeth, the person who owns that land, his name is Jamie Beasley. And this is sort of a good example. Tad Cullum, one of the suspects, wealthy, has a lot of land. He leased some of the land from Jamie Beasley where the bodies were discovered, the video that you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought is, you know, perhaps he leased this land from someone who doesn't have as much money, decided to go out and bury the bodies there. They have similar looking trucks, which is interesting. Was he sort of trying to frame Jamie Beasley? Is that a possibility? But so you've got people like, you know, Jamie Beasley who are intimidated. I mean, yeah. This guy had a lot of money, came out, leased some of his land, and now police show up, start digging, as you can see in the video, and that's where they discovered the bodies.
All right.
So Miss Teddy H3 from the chat, we started out with that warrant information release today mentions they were buried in a chair. We started out the show with that. So thank you. But I think you came in a little late. But we started out with the bloody clothing and the bloody knife and some other objects, as well as what they think were the perpetrator's clothing was dumped in the graves with Veronica and Jillian. And so that, you know, that evidence is so, 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 so powerful. Mike.
Yeah, Billy, it's important to know all the characters, because you've got, right now, we got five of them all together, two families.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
The Cullum Adams family and the Twombly family and Paul Grice. You know, this investigation is obviously continuing because we know that they have got that, you know, they've released other information. I am sure that by looking through all their phones and things like that, they are just the OSBI and probably maybe even the Kansas State Police and the FBI also are going to look for some other people who may be involved tangentially in this case. How much, you know, extra little bits of help that they get that weren't made public yet. But this investigation hasn't obviously ended with the arrest. It's continuing, and good for that, because this may be a lot bigger than we thought. If these people do have a little bit more power than we think they have, a little bit more influence, there may be some other arrests in the future, because this, if you can get this group of people to agree to do this, I don't put it past anybody else to be able to join in that group on maybe and some other on some other occasion, or help them out a little bit that hasn't yet been made public.
BJ, Cora's daughter is with her bio father now. Good, that's great.
That's good news.
A family member. Maggie Lusk, Bill, I totally get what you're saying, and I agree, but for my uncle, it's the only way we can keep him at home. I'm not saying give up technology. I'm just saying, I have a cell phone. I order stuff from Amazon. I'm on the computer all the time. Mm-hmm. I have different emails. I gave up a lot of my privacy, and with that, sometimes you give up some of your security. So I'm aware of that, and we all must be. We also know that certain ad people track us. You can run something on your computer. Next thing you know, you're getting bombarded with commercials for that very, or even I'm convinced they're listening to you. You could talk about something you may order on the phone. Next thing you know, you're getting ads. So they're listening to you also. How does that make you feel? It doesn't make me feel good, but am I going to give up modern day technology? The scariest thing now, and I'm not going to get into it, totally, is AI, artificial intelligence. And that is going to be very scary. And it's already in use. It's being used in medicine. It's being used in police work. It's being used in all kinds of things on the computers, being used in finance and all kinds of technology. It's going to eliminate thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of jobs in the future. You think law enforcement's going to use AI? You bet they are, right? So I'm just giving examples of this, but the technology we're seeing being used by law enforcement of solving these cases that would seemingly be unsolvable years ago. Sherry Murray, to get respect, you earn respect that you have done, earned our trust in what you say. Your opinions are greatly appreciated. If that's meant for me, Sherry Murray, thank you very much. I appreciate that. So, you know, one of the things also, early on in this case, when Tiffany Adams was with the group of four that were arrested, remember, they executed all those arrest warrants. She basically confessed to this, but we still don't know specifically what we said. I'm going to play a little piece here. And again, these are not timely because they're from, I would guess, about a month or so ago, when Tiffany Adams and the other three individuals were arrested. So let's see what they had to say here.
This mom's Tiffany Adams, the prime suspect in the murders of Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly, gave a recorded statement after she was arrested. Investigators say Butler was locked in a custody battle with Adams, her children's grandmother. She is now one of the four suspects now charged with murder and kidnapping. News Nation correspondent Caitlin Becker has been poring through these documents and walks us through what she has learned.
Well, Natasha, investigators are firming up their case against the four individuals accused in the murders of the two Kansas moms who went missing March 30th. We're learning now that one of the suspects, Tiffany Adams, allegedly confessed to law enforcement that she was responsible for the killings. 2 weeks after their car was found abandoned on a rural road in Oklahoma, the bodies of 27-year-old Veronica Butler and 39-year-old Jillian Kelly were discovered in a cow pasture owned by Adams' boyfriend, Tad Cullum. Adams and Cullum were arrested along with two others, and those four are facing charges of first-degree murder, kidnapping, and conspiracy for these slayings. Now, prosecutors say in new court documents that they have no question about Adams' guilt, pointing out, quote, after arrest, this defendant, Tiffany Adams, did provide a recorded statement to law enforcement indicating her responsibility for the death of the deceased. Now, the state didn't go into detail about how far Adams's alleged involvement in the murders went, but according to an affidavit from investigators, she was the last person to communicate with Veronica Butler, and the victims had been scheduled to meet up with Adams the day they vanished. Now, the women were supposed to pick up Butler's children from Tiffany Adams, who is their paternal grandmother, and they were going to have a supervised visit. Now, at the heart of this case is what law enforcement describes as a problematic custody battle between Veronica Butler and Tiffany Adams over the children that she shares with Adams' son. Now, in April, there was supposed to be a hearing that could have tipped custody in favor of Butler. And that is what authorities believe, Natasha, motivated the four suspects to murder.
Caitlin, with that, thank you. And here now to provide more insight, News Nation legal analyst and criminal trial attorney, Sarah Azari. Sarah, thanks so much for joining us. And I know you've also been poring through these new court documents. What is standing out to you?
Yeah, so Natasha, look, I'm not shaking in my boots over this indication of responsibility that is being looked at as a confession. I can't.
All right. I mean, I don't want to hear what she has to say because she's doing it from an attorney's perspective on representing Tiffany Adams. So I don't want to hear how you would get her off, you know.
Right.
Linda Cato, thank you so much for the $9.99 super sticker. Very much appreciated. Thank you for your support. And I see you here every night. I really appreciate it, the support you guys give us. So, Mike, it's like this is one of those cases that we always say truth is stranger than fiction.
Sure.
You could not make up these characters if you were a writer. You couldn't, first of all, the physical descriptions of them, you couldn't make that up. You couldn't make up what happened here because real life, again, is much, much stranger than fiction. And this case is no different.
Yeah, Billy, it's the level of depravity doesn't seem to know any bottom whatsoever. And the more we know about this case, the more we're going to be shocked. I think there's going to be a lot over the course of the next several months. Maybe 6 months, who knows when this will come to trial. But as information gets released, I think they're talking about releasing the ME's report in a couple of months. You know, that's going to be probably really terrible. And unfortunately, you're right. You're right. You can't, any author, no author could imagine something this depraved. And that is sad because truth is stranger than fiction. Absolutely. Yeah.
Could you write this story? I doubt you could. Again, I'm going to play another from the local Channel 12.
The affidavits containing details of the case of the two Kansas women missing in Oklahoma have been unsealed. Just hours ago, investigators gave an update on the case of Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly, who they now say were murdered. Our own Max Dutton has been in the area today and got the affidavits from the courthouse in Texas County, Oklahoma, and reports back to us now on what he's learned. Max?
Yeah, and Lane, this shows you just how desolate this area is. We're here about 5 miles away from where that accident first took place. This is known as the Four Corners area. Now, Jillian Kelly, Veronica Butler were supposed to meet here at 10 a.m., but they did not make it there. Their vehicle was found about 5 miles north of where we're at right now. The signal is so bad out here that we actually had to move because we had SOS phone signal. Now, this affidavit has a lot to break down here, so stick with me on what we're taking away here. Now, but
we're just going over what occurred here, you know, to refresh your memory, because obviously today it came out how their bodies were discovered, that they were in a chest freezer and all of that. So this is basically just refreshing our memories of the actual, the way they were attacked, the way they were ambushed. This is what happened.
Butler was in a custody battle with Tiffany Adams. Tiffany Adams is the grandmother of Butler's ex-husband, Wrangler Rickman. So they're in a custody battle, and Butler had a normal supervisor. She's preferred. Her name is Cheryl Brune. She was unavailable, so she contacted Kelly to do the supervising. That's what that relationship was developed. Brune later then said she was available to supervise, but Adams told her to take a couple weeks off. An interesting note there. Now, Butler told Adams, as we said, 10 a.m. they were going to meet right here. Police did not find the car here. They actually were contacted by family members after they found the car those 5 miles away, as we mentioned. They found evidence of severe injury, blood on the roadway, Butler's glasses in the roadway, a broken hammer, and a pistol magazine all found. That was found in Kelly's purse, but not the pistol itself. So clear evidence of a crime right off the bat. Now, OSBI interviewed the daughter of Cora Twombly. She's referred to as CW in this affidavit. Now, CW is 16 years old, said she believed Adams, Colin, Cole, and Paul Grice were involved in the deaths and that Adams had provided burner phones. CW said the group was involved in the anti-government group here in the area called God's Misfits. They actually had regular meetings at the Twombly's. Now, Cora and Cole came back from the day of the murder at 12 o'clock. This is 2 hours after they were supposed to meet at this location. Cora and Cole Twombly told CW that their daughter to clean the truck and that she did not have to worry about Veronica Butler ever again. Now, before that, Cora and Cole actually blocked the road to divert Butler and Kelly to where Adams, Coleman, and Grice were. That's when the murder happened. So they were supposed to meet at this location where we're live currently. They were then diverted to Adams. That's when the murder takes place. CW also confirmed with the OSBI that an attempt to kill Butler happened in February of 2024 in Hugoton, but Butler did not leave a house. A previous attempt to kill Butler happened back in February of 2024, just months ago. Now, Adams, also through the affidavit, we learned she bought 3 prepaid cell phones from the Walmart on February 13th in Guymon, Oklahoma. All 3 of those phones were pinged in the area where the car was located, then turned off and turned back near a dam 8.5 miles away. They found that dam just 8.5 miles away, as we mentioned, from the location of the cars. The dam had been dug into. They had hay, and that's the last spot those phones were pinged. All of this evidence that we just brought you up from the affidavit is why these 4 arrests were made. These 4 people were charged with murder, among other charges. Now, we were at a press conference earlier this morning. Here's what other law enforcement officials had to say.
From the get-go, once we arrived on scene, that and we gained a little bit of information, that we felt this wasn't a random deal. All right. We felt that with some of the information coming in, that it was more targeted, and we started to look in those areas that we were pointed to.
And now we asked OSBI today as well if they could confirm that those 2 bodies were Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly. They said they still cannot confirm that, but they did confirm both of those women are now dead. They have.
So that was actually a rather well done quick synopsis of everything that happened very quickly. So that sort of brought us up to speed to where we were today when we started the show, that they know that they found them in a chest freezer, and all of the evidence they found within that chest freezer, besides the bodies, a knife, bloody clothing, obviously not belonging to the victims, belonging, they believe, to the perpetrators, which the nexus, of course, the connection, I loved using, I was once in college, I used that word nexus. The word nexus, the connection between the perpetrators and the clothing inside the freezer chest, just that's like a nail in your coffin that you can't pull out. I mean, that's inexplainable. Luckily, you know, these guys ain't going anywhere. You know, and this is a death penalty state. They potentially could get it. Mike, I just have to read one thing in the chat.
Yeah.
Jane C., Professor Geary is the best. I was going to try to record that. I was going to try to pretend I didn't see that, but you know, something I gotta take.
Thank you.
Someone, you got a real fan in there, Mike. So that's good.
Much appreciated.
Sherry Wilson, apparently they didn't consider being caught and never seeing those children again.
That's right.
They didn't think of a lot of things in what they did here.
Yeah.
This is a horrific, horrific case. You know, Mike, I think that's, you know, I think we gave a pretty good Carol Grayston, thank you so much for all you do. Carol is a great moderator. She's doing a fantastic job. And she's here all the time, and she lives in Scotland. I don't know what time sometimes she has to get up late at night, wake up early in the morning to come to these shows, but she's always here. Carol, thank you for all you do. Very much appreciated. You do a fantastic job. Air Glow, these killers were either willing to sacrifice their lives for these two children, or they were incredibly stupid. I think they were incredibly stupid. You know, I'm not 100%. Barbara Crossley, hello, Sergeant Bill. Hello. Was that your attempt to what Mike Geary said? Mike Geary, you're the best. But thank you. Barbara, I need love too. We all need love. Please love to come for real crime stories. All the love we get from the chat, it's appreciated. Jason Brown, killing is either for food, self-defense, anger, or greed. Hate is a result of the above. Only humans have greed and hate. This is historical and all society governed by currency. Jason Brown, I can learn something new every day. Thank you. That was well received and well thought of. You're so true. Mike, I think that we covered this as much as we could. We don't want to get redundant. We're going to keep following this case. New information is going to keep coming in.
Yeah.
Stuff is starting to get released. They're starting to release warrants and all this other stuff. Your final thoughts, Mike?
That people should just remember the Butler family and the Kelly family and their children. There's like, I think, six children now without a mom, and two husbands without spouses. So just remember the Butler and the Kelly family in your prayers, and pray for them and for all their loved ones and all their friends who miss them, because this is horrible.
Absolutely. Folks, obviously, I'm Bill Cannon from Police Off the Cuff. I want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. All the new faces in the chat, just hit the subscribe button on YouTube, and we'd love to see you whenever we go live. Also, I'm on this show is also on listening devices. We're on Spotify and Apple, among about 20 other listening. So you can listen to us in the car. So when you can't watch us on the phone, listen to us in your car on Spotify or Apple, and we'd appreciate that. So, folks, thanks for tuning in tonight. Have a great night. God bless, and we'll see you soon.
Good night.
One episode just ain't enough. Get a laughter, get it in you too.
Here you are, BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too. Aw, I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.